We like to do things by the numbers. We're all about commerce and community. Welcome to The Upswing, presented by Horicon Bank, the natural choice for all your banking needs. Now for the host that's always on The Upswing, Jeff Sherman.
Now, to business, gentlemen.
Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, Milwaukee. Hope your Tuesday is off and running well, wherever you're doing, wherever you are. Hope you're having a good day so far. When you take a walk around your neighborhood, what are you seeing right now? Are you sensing that there's a few more for sale signs? Are you talking to your neighbors and they're thinking, now might be a good time to sell? Or are you sensing a little bit of uncertainty? The other day, and I'm sure maybe you've gotten one of these, but we hadn't gotten one in a while. We got a letter put into our mail, actually just left on our front steps, a really creative tactic saying, hey, if you ever choose to sell your house, here's my number, here's my email, we'd like you to contact us. I love the creative entrepreneurialism of this. You see this often in I don't know, districts that have really hot retail corridors or school districts. But hey, here's a house we'd like. We know it's not on the market yet, but if you ever choose to sell, why don't you give us a call? And as I said, I'm sensing a little bit of uncertainty in the housing market. Some of the higher end homes, you're looking at what, 600,000 to 900,000 range. Those maybe aren't selling as quickly right now, sitting on the market a little longer. Those houses in the 250,000 to 500,000 range, they're still selling pretty quickly. And if we're going to be really mission driven, all about community and commerce on this show, I want to continue to talk more about home prices and the economics of it all. So we're going to do that on today's show. Record high housing prices, still pretty elevated mortgage rates. They've frozen some people out of the housing market. But there's some new data now that shows that Gen Z is looking to be even more creative in terms of how they're buying first-time homes. And the Midwest is front and center in this compared to nationally. You look at national median home prices, you're over $330,000. In the Midwest, as a region, we're still around that $250,000 range. So Gen Z is sensing that Midwest is the place that I want to be. So today we're going to dive into the February housing numbers, see where we're heading for summer, and get a sense of where and how the younger generation is finding the funds and the opportunity to get creative around first-time home buying. Are they buying with friends? Are they investing in homes together? Even buying homes that they're not going to live in. A lot of creativity in the housing space. Abby Hawkey is the regional manager for First Weber. Abby's going to join us later in the show. She's also the board chair of the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors, one of the youngest board chairs ever to hold that position. She'll join us to talk about the real estate market and a preview this weekend's Realtors Home and Garden Show at the Expo Center at State Fair. Just yesterday, the Marcus Performing Arts Center announced its 30th anniversary of its Johnson Financial Group Broadway series at the Marcus Center. I'm a former board member at the Marcus Center, so this is always a highlight for me. I love what the Marcus Center does. It's such a blend, again, of commerce and community. They announced several shows beginning September 30th and running through October 5th is Mrs. Doubtfire. Les Mis is back in October. Dr. Seuss's How the Grinch Stole Christmas. The musical is back for the holiday season. And Hamilton is coming back to town January 20th to February 1st, 2026. Always excited when we see the announcement from the Marcus Center. Also, speaking of the Marcus Center, I know it's the day after St. Patrick's Day, but the holiday extends throughout the week. People continue to celebrate, and there's some big events coming up this coming weekend, too. I want to highlight that. So when we come back, we're going to hear a little bit about the Red Hot Chili Pipers. This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Bagpipes with Attitude are back this coming Friday. WTMJ's Vince Vitrano had a chance to catch up with the Red Hot Chili Pipers, multi-platinum, award-winning Celtic rock band from Scotland. They're in town on Friday. Let's learn more.
Can you take me back to the first time it occurred to you, hey, we can do more than play the classics on the bagpipes. Like, we can do some contemporary stuff.
So you could say that if you play the Highland bagpipes and you're trying to entertain a broader audience and not just bagpipe aficionados, then you're going to have to broaden your scope of music there. Now, the difficulty with the bagpipes is it only has one octave. The instrument only has one octave. So you have to be quite clever in what you do.
Are there songs, Willie, that you all have tried and just thought, you know what, man, this does not fit. It just doesn't work for bag rock.
Yeah, fantastic question again, Vince. I just think that if you could put 1,000 tunes down and we can say, can we do this? All this stuff has been well thought through and we go through, Vince, I'm not lying, I would probably say 50 tunes and we think, does that work? Nah. Okay, next one, nah. And then after an hour or two, you say, wait a minute, you might have something here, let's try that.
Red Hot Chili Pipers playing the Marcus Performing Arts Center. Willie Armstrong is one of the founders of the band. Is it harder, Willie, to play like AC/DC on the bagpipes as opposed to Amazing Grace?
So Amazing Grace is a slow air, so yeah, your fingers won't have to move at the same speed. I think that when, let's not forget, AC/DC are a Scottish band as well, and when they done Thunderstruck all those years ago, it's an incredibly difficult piece of music to play on the bagpipes.
Talking with Willie Armstrong, one of the founding members of the Red Hot Chili Pipers.
We've seen the Red Hot Chili Pipers.
Willie, please tell me you know of at least one occasion where someone came to see your show and thought they were coming to see the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, that's happened a few times. The advertising is always, we make sure it's guys dressed in kilts playing bagpipes. And I've even capitalised the Pipers part of it, so it's not Peppers, it's spelt differently, it's Pipers. But mostly it's taken in good humour when that happens. And there's a mother and daughter who bought a ticket for $45 to come and see us in a theatre in Sheboygan, I think it was. It was all over the internet, it went viral on the internet. So viral that the Red Hot Chili Peppers gave them free tickets to come and see their show. But we're still in contact with the mother and daughter, and they loved our show. As much as the Red Hot Chili Peppers, so they still come back to see us.
You guys play all over the world. You could go anywhere you want, particularly around St. Patrick's Day. Why do you always come back to Milwaukee?
It's such an iconic place to go. I love Milwaukee. I love the art museum. And it's right next to the rock stage at Milwaukee, the Henry Meyer Park. So love Milwaukee. And I think that it's a really appreciative crowd. Most people in Milwaukee have heard of the band because we play, obviously, at the Irish Fest most years. So, yeah, I cannot wait to play there.
Big events all weekend long. I know it's only Tuesday, but you're already looking forward to the weekend, right? The Red Hot Chili Pipers at the Marcus Performing Arts Center on Friday. Then rumors the Ultimate Fleetwood Mac tribute show is the following night. Of course, the first and second rounds of the NCAA tournament at Fiserv Friday and Sunday as well. Coming up next, take a guess. What's the percentage of American households that make more than $200,000 per year? I'll tell you, and I'll tell you how that could impact the future of higher education. You're listening to The Upswing. This is WTMJ.
Now is time for the
two, count them,
two up on The Upswing.
Welcome back to The Upswing. Let's go two up. Of course, two things in the business world that I'm seeing that you need to know about now. Are you aware of the wine brand Yellowtail? Really budget-friendly, right? It's an Australian-based wine brand, probably known to college students mainly. It's looked the same since the year 2001. And I did some price checks yesterday around the area. A bottle of Yellowtail is, depending on where you're going, about $6.50. I saw it for $6.89 at a few places, too. The company is looking to tweak its look. It kind of has that iconic kangaroo logo. Now they want to stand out even more, and they need to continue to appeal to younger generations to turn away from the canned cocktail lines, because that's where the younger generation is going. Reality is, wine companies want to continue to woo younger customers. So even a legacy brand like Yellowtail is looking to redo its look and feel. In 2024, wine sales to retailers declined by 8%. And this is data from the Wine and Spirits Wholesalers of America. Wine's competing with canned cocktails, with seltzers, with THC-infused drinks, the rise of NA beer, and so much more. So they're going to make subtle changes at Yellowtail. They're going to move the logo. They're going to make it easier for consumers to immediately recognize the bottle's variety. And they're going to hype up the color contrast. It's really interesting, obviously, as you're walking down the wine aisles, your eye tends to go to the bottles that are more vibrant. And Yellowtail has always been a little more subtle in its look and feel, and it's always played on the fact that it's a bargain price. Now they're going to update that look in a little bit of a bid to make Yellowtail's accessible, easy on the pocketbook brand more available to the younger market. Speaking of more available, our second thing is Harvard for everyone. Now, higher education costs, we all know they're not getting any lower, right? No matter what the motives are on this, did you hear this yesterday? Yesterday's announcement from Harvard, I think it's a good one. Harvard University is saying that it's expanding its financial aid program, making undergraduate tuition free for students from families with annual incomes of $200,000 or less. And this will begin in the 2025 and 26 academic year. Annual tuition at Harvard, any guesses? $57,000 a year. So this initiative is also going to provide full financial support, including housing, food, and travel for students from families earning $100,000 or less. Now, according to recent data, and it kind of depends on what source you're looking at, but 12.66% of American households make less than $200,000. Make more than $200,000 per year. So we're looking at 89% of Americans are eligible for the free Harvard ride. Now, you're saying, Jeff, all right, first, give me the numbers. Give me some more numbers around this. The acceptance rate at Harvard, 3.5%. So for every 100 applicants, only about 4 are admitted. So it's extremely selective. But the thing is, Harvard gets the great minds. This is going to enable a bit of social mobility. And it's going to provide an entrance point to the elite in the country. And you look at why schools like Harvard are doing this. Well, $52 billion endowments. It's also worth noting that Republicans in Congress are weighing tax increases for the top universities and their endowments. So the elite schools around the country, like Harvard, Stanford, and Princeton, could see levies on their investment gains raised as high as 21%. So, yes, whatever the motive is behind this on the Harvard end, I think it's a really good thing for the state of higher education to open their doors to more people, to make higher education more affordable, and to create even bigger, better, brighter opportunities for everyone. Kudos, Harvard. Let's see how this trickles down to endowments at other schools, but also to opening higher education opportunities at other schools, not only the Ivy League schools, but some of the private institutions across the country. Looking at February home sales data, the metropolitan Milwaukee housing market fell almost 4% in February. We're going to dive into that and much, much more when we come back. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. We're going to dive into the wonderful world of housing on a hyper-local level. February home sales were down 3.9% in the area. So I always like to kind of take a deeper dive into those figures, tell you what it's all about, and analyze it from a true professional lens. Abby Hawkey is a regional manager of Southeast and Northeast Wisconsin for First Weber. Abby's taking some time out of her day to join us in studio. Abby, I appreciate your time.
Thanks so much.
And, all right, first and foremost, I'm just looking through your information. Looked at your LinkedIn profile this morning. I'm fascinated by Walt Disney World.
Yeah.
You did a six-month internship there years ago.
Mm-hmm.
What did you learn at Walt Disney World that helped prepare you for the real estate game?
Yeah, it's wild because at the time, obviously, I had no idea real estate was going to be in my future. And I think I have to attribute a lot of my time at Disney for what has prepared me for real estate. I mean, truly, everything at Disney is all about the guest, right?
Right.
And you are on stage. That's what they prep you for. When you are in front of people, you are on stage. If you need a break, you step off a stage. So it just really helps you to get mentally focused on putting that person and that customer first, which obviously is a key within real estate.
Yeah, and it's all about, you know, positioning and protecting the brand also. But as you kind of walk through Disney, all the buildings look perfect,
yeah.
Right? And so that had to really help at least spark something in you, like, wow, this is an industry I can really love and take lessons from a place that's a worldwide destination.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Everything is beautiful and pristine. And again, it's all about guiding the clients through their space and making sure they're enjoying the time and touring them around ultimately, right? And same with real estate. I mean, we have to do that every single day.
All right. I wanted to dive into some of the Greater Milwaukee Association of Realtors report from February. Mm-hmm. How do you interpret the 3.9% decline in home sales in Greater Milwaukee in February? Is that just seasonality or are there other factors that are going into this?
Yeah, so I think primarily I would say it's seasonality. And when you really break down that 3.9% and you put it to actual numbers, it was like 38 homes less in sales, right? So it's not an astronomical number. February is primarily a slow month always. And, you know, I think January people come out of the gate as a new year and they get really excited and they get anxious and they do start to look at putting their house up. February is cold, gray, and people just slow down. And then they put a pause on wanting to wait for the spring market really to rev up.
Mm-hmm. What are we looking at from an inventory standpoint? Is there a need for additional units? We hear a lot about, hey, the Greater Milwaukee area needs more housing to get a more balanced market. Are you still seeing that?
Oh, yeah, 100%. So a balanced market would mean we have 6 months worth of inventory to keep up with the demand for the buyers. Right now, we're down in the twos, 2.3 or so, I believe. And so, yeah, our demand is incredibly high. Our listings were up just a smidge, 0.4% for the month of February. But as we go into March, we're going to anticipate and we expect to continue to see that inventory now rise.
All right. When we come back, I'm seeing a lot of stories recently about the challenges for first-time home buyers. But the flip side of that is, and I've said this for years, and I think it's finally coming true, that this is the year of the Midwest, that people are finally focused on, whoa, the affordability, the access to the lake, and just the opportunity in the Midwest is here. I want to get your lens on, is it here from a housing standpoint for first-time home buyers? You're listening to The Upswing. This is WTMJ. Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman. Home prices and more today. Abby Hawkey, regional manager at First Weber, joins us. Abby, again, thanks for your time. I appreciate it. So let's talk about some of the challenges in the February report. Limited inventory, rising prices. That's kind of a housing 101 almost. But what are the programs and options for first-time home buyers in the Milwaukee area? And are you seeing an increase, or is there a bit of continued uncertainty for first-time home buyers in the area?
Uncertainty, I don't know that I'd use that word.
Okay.
Unrest, maybe, frustration, absolutely. Because our demand is so high. So it's escalating our prices, right? Mm-hmm. We almost are continuing to see double digits in home sale prices rising month after month, which makes it tough.
Mm-hmm.
And then because the demand is so high, right, the competition out there is really tough. And when you're a first-time home buyer, you're looking at every option, right? Whether it's the financial programs that maybe help with down payment assistance, which there are some, of course. So, but then it makes it a little bit harder to compete when you're coming in there against a cash buyer.
So the average sale price was up by 15.5% in February.
Yeah.
How are you navigating your clients in the rising cost environment, and specifically for first-time home buyers?
Mm-hmm.
How are you educating them? At least make sure they're in the game.
Yeah. So having the right financial partner is huge. So a good real estate agent is going to pair you with a great lender. And that is so important because there's just so many different types of programs. I mean, there are programs where you can get almost fully underwritten prior to even writing your offer. So then you can go in with much stronger contingencies, almost similar to a cash offer, right? And then you have a little bit more of a leg up versus somebody coming in with a different type of program for financing. So I would say that is really imperative. Sit down, have the consultation with your real estate agent so that you can be quick to act, you can be pre-approved before jumping in, and then you can be strong in navigating your contingencies because it's not always about the dollar at the end of the day.
Yeah. So people are listening across the state and maybe saying, all right, I'm going to relocate to greater Milwaukee. You have first-time home buying clients.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you steering them? Is that just still a hyper-personal decision, or do you kind of use your lens to say, hey, what about this area? What about this neighborhood? How do you handle that?
Yeah, good question. So I would say it still is extremely personal. I mean, I think some people just have specific needs, right, for job or relocation. But then if you're looking to stretch your budget a little bit more, we can absolutely sit down and say, hey, have you kind of looked into maybe the West Dallas area, the Cudahy, going a little bit more south, right? Or even if you're into Waukesha County and then Jefferson County, even it pushes a little bit out there. So you can definitely look to extend your locations. Absolutely.
Okay. What are you seeing from a recruitment standpoint in the realtor space? It seemed to me like years ago, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, it was like, well, this is the industry I need to be in. There's mm-hmm. been some changes, maybe even some challenges. Are you finding it tougher to recruit new realtors?
So I would say during that 2020, 2021, when our industry was booming, our market was booming, everybody wanted to get into real estate. It looked glamorous. It was easy. Everybody was selling houses. And then post-COVID, we had the election, right? We had the lawsuits within our industry, which you know, caused some change for us in the real estate world. So I think that uncertainty level kind of made people step down a little bit and be like, I'm not sure I want to take that risk of getting into this self-employed space.
In terms of regulation in Wisconsin, we've always kind of had that buttoned up, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Wisconsin's always been ahead of the game. Yeah. So that's why the agents really haven't seen much of an effect. It's really just a different navigation of conversation with your clients.
Yeah. I say, like, it's about location, location, location. But to your point, Abby, it's about trust, trust, trust. And whether that's your financial partner or your realtor or whoever you're working with to identify that right home, you got to have that level of trust in a relationship or it's just not going to work.
100%. Yep.
All right. When we come back, I know you have a preview of the upcoming Home and Garden Show this weekend. What are some of the big things that are going to make my home a little bit more valuable? I'm going to throw out a budget to you and you can see, all right, here's a dollar amount. What are the two things that will instantly rise the level value of my home? This is The Upswing. You're listening to WTMJ.
Our house is a very, very, very fine house with two cats in the yard.
Welcome back to The Upswing. I'm Jeff Sherman, navigating the wonderful world of residential real estate. Abby Hawkey from First Weber joins us. So, Abby, has the calculus of renting versus buying a home in the U.S. gotten more complex? Have you seen a shift of kind of the how and why people buy?
Yeah, I mean, again, that demand pushing the supply and the pricing up is pushing people into renting a lot more. However, I think rent complexes know that. Apartment complexes know that. So rent prices are skyrocketing as well.
Yeah.
And it's easy to build them. Easier to build those than condo complexes and single family. So we're seeing a lot of them go up because they know they can get the demand for it.
Yeah. Back on the first-time homebuyer lane, are you seeing people pool resources? Like single people in their 20s saying, hey, we're going to buy this home together or buying homes as investments in the area? Is that happening?
You know, duplex, the want for and need for a duplex is definitely, right? So because you can live in one and then rent out the other and supplement your mortgage in that respect. I haven't really seen people pooling together. I have seen people pool the resources and gifts of family members.
Okay. All right.
Definitely.
Yes. Yeah, that's good. All right. So this weekend at the Wisconsin State Fair Parks Expo Center is the Realtors Home and Garden Show. Wanted to have you give us a little bit of preview, what to expect there, the costs are, maybe how you can save a little bit of money and get in.
Yeah, so it's our 99th Home and Garden Show, so that's pretty exciting.
Nice.
We have anywhere, every year there's between 20,000 to 30,000 people through that expo. So it's a really cool experience. So if you're looking to, as a seller, right, meet contractors, vendors, explore some upgrades that you could do in your home, you could meet everybody there that you'd want. If you're looking to expand your outdoor living, right, there's fire pits, pergolas, waterfalls on exhibit that you can walk through the promenade. It's beautiful. It truly is an exceptional show.
Build that garden up or get those raised gardens. Or
there's going to be puppies there this year.
Right.
I mean, who doesn't love puppies?
Indeed, that's beautiful. All right, so I'm walking through the Realtors Home and Garden Show, and I'm like, all right, I have $1,000. I want to do two things in the $1,000 budget that are really going to maximize the value of my home. Is it possible, and what would you recommend?
Okay, definitely possible.
All right,
and my instant recommendation is lighting. Is number one.
Okay.
That is such a good and quick.
Inside and out?
Inside. Well, yeah. Outside, okay. I would say if you're looking at updating the ones just like on your garage, right? Or something like that. But inside primarily, your bathrooms, your kitchens, a chandelier, a real statement piece that's going to instantly modernize your home.
Okay.
And you can do that fairly inexpensively.
All right. That's
the other
one.
One. Okay. The other one is paint. It sounds so boring, but it is truly going to change the space of your home.
Yes. All right. That is on the Sherman household list for sure. Paint the entire house. You got to find the colors. You got to find the right contractor. You got to find the time for sure. But that's good to know because that's definitely on our list. Abby Hawkey, I appreciate your time. All the best with the show and in everything you do. Enjoy the rest of your week.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It was a pleasure being here.
All right. For sure. So, coming up tomorrow, the seasonal allergy time is coming fast and quickly, and I have some thoughts on how you make sure you're spending the right amount of money to make sure that you stay healthy this spring. And then later in the show, we're going to preview the upcoming summer cruise season on the Great Lakes. So make sure you're back tomorrow. As always, just text Upswing to the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line at 855-616-1620. We'll send you all past episodes.
These are your business headlines from the Milwaukee Business Journal.
Spirit Airlines expands its routes from Milwaukee Mitchell International Airport starting in May. The airline offers direct Thursday and Sunday flights to LA, Baltimore, and Nashville for as low as $74. Gateway Technical College, which serves Racine, Kenosha, and Walworth counties, dissolves its Office of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion while eliminating its vice president of DEI. The college cites Trump administration directives. Canadian manufacturer Balkan Plastic plans to expand in Pleasant Prairie as the company broadens its manufacturing capacity and expects to add 83 employees. I'm Rich Kirchen with MilwaukeeBusinessJournal.com on 620 WTMJ.